Welcome back. Tuesday front page going a little finance here. Chris Foster Ramsey, financial broker, and understands what's going on in the world of finances, joined us this morning. Chris, good morning and welcome to The Pulse.
Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Excellent. I really appreciate your time. It's an interesting world we're living in at the moment around finances. A lot of discussions. There's interest rates. There's debts. There's borrowings. There's bonds. There's all sorts of conversations in the last 12 months. Government debt, scary things. But on face value, how do you think people are coping with the information flow? Because I guess you'd be under a great deal of pressure to provide the information that people desperately need.
Yeah, that's right. Look, we're seeing, you know, there is so much happening, and whether it's, you know, getting a better deal on a home loan or what we're seeing at the moment, which is where budgets are starting to get stretched. So, you know, this time last year, it was all about fixing rates at, you know, world record lows. And at the moment, it's about trying to manage budgets and re-looking at budgets to be able to cope with the increase in monthly repayments. So it is starting to affect how people live. And we're just seeing that in the last couple of weeks. And I think that we'll start to see that right through to Christmas, just where budgets are a little bit more affected by the monthly repayments going up so much.
Your clients, do they tend to remain positive? Because I know that there's a lot of people I socialise with get very frustrated that everything that affects them is always out of their control. It's someone else. It's government debt. It's the Reserve Bank that's fiddling with interest rates because someone's caused another problem somewhere else. And quite often these problems are caused internationally that we just in Australia pick up at the end of. It really does sort of play with the mind at some times of why is my life inconvenienced like this when it's not my fault?
Yes, yeah, it is. And people tend to look within to try and you know, see whether they're the issue or whether, you know, it's more of an issue that can't be controlled. And certainly part of that is, you know, we have a program in place where we found that, you know, having been through a couple of these in the past when, you know, working in banking, the key here, I think, is to be able to communicate with clients and really communicate that they're not the only ones in that situation, you know, that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of other people that are in a similar situation in relation to family budgets and pressures on that.
Your experience in the industry, it just comes to me reading a lot of articles from financiers about the more things change, the more they stay the same, that there's a lot of repetition in the way international money markets work. Are you getting good at predicting with a degree of confidence about what might happen now?
Yeah, look, I think in terms of where rates will end up, is that sort of where you...
Yeah, well, rates and again, I've been reading articles about the fear of recession, that if it hits the United States, which is looking very likely, then it's potentially going to affect us. All that type of thing, which is maybe 1 to 2 years down the track, but going through historical behaviour, you might be able to predict with a little bit more confidence of what things might happen and therefore what we can do in preparation.
Yeah, sure. So I think with that, it's a, you know, there is an element of reading tea leaves there, but what I look at when I'm trying to work out what is happening is fixed rates and where they sit. And if they sit higher than variable rates, then, you know, chances are that's where that price of that money is going to be for the next 2 to 3 years, depending on that rate.
Yep.
That's how sort of we look at it. But in terms of my, you know, personal, very humble view on this, not as an economist, as a, you know, just a person of society, I would say that we're probably getting towards the top of the interest rate rises. I think there's, you know, potentially one in November under the guise of Cup Day, and then, you know, perhaps a pause over December and January. And then, you know, we'll probably see things plateauing at similar levels to where they are now into 23, with all the other stuff going on in the world around it.
The funny one, the Reserve Bank seems to be putting the interest rates up to put pressure on people to stop them from spending. And if they don't spend, then businesses are affected. It seems this funny, silly cycle of going down rather than going up. But based on your view of things, are you still optimistic that what the Reserve Bank has done with interest rates, although it's put pressure on individual households, at this stage it's manageable pressure, but will have a positive medium-term outcome?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look, I think that having been through the cycle before, as I say, in previous lives, it seems to be that, you know, this is where the price of home loans will be, and these are what repayments will be, and I think that, you know, the slowing down eventually had to come at some point. It's just that, you know, it was, you know, perhaps meant to come next year rather than now, and perhaps not as hard as it's happened.
Yeah, another thing, of course, people are looking to improve their situation and buying that second home or some other sorts of investments, share market investments, taking advantage of tax havens or, you know, negative gearing advances. At this stage, is it a good time to be jumping, or would you suggest to maybe wait that little bit longer till you do get to the top of that interest rate upward curve and just take a breath for a moment to see what's happening? Or do you see opportunities right now for people to move in to improve their wealth position?
Yeah, I think that every situation, you know, is different, and it's very different if you're, you know, pushing the envelope to try and invest and take advantage of a market situation compared to having, you know, a high level of borrowing capacity and a significant deposit. You know, they're chalk and cheese when you look at those examples. However, what we are seeing and hearing is that there are investors in the market that have been in the market for waiting for this occasion, probably for 18 months, and sit on a significant deposit. And they're the ones that we're seeing acting at the moment. We're not seeing those, you know, families or individuals trying to push the envelope like we were, you know, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, trying to just jump in, get in now, and, you know, the universe would work things out. It's just not like that at this point.
One thing that's always involved in these conversations is the renter. People who are looking to invest in property have to have someone prepared to rent, and the rental market is certainly under pressure. There doesn't seem to be enough houses around. The rates are quite high, putting traditional renters under a great deal of pressure. Do you sense that might balance out shortly too? Is it just connected to the other flows in the market?
Yeah. My personal view on that, my view is yes, it is. I mean, when we sort of look at the rental market and those renting and, you know, provision of investment property is one thing for renters to rent. And, you know, typically what we see is there's an aspirational renter that's just renting at the moment to make sure that, you know, whether it be relationship or buying with the right person or just, you know, saving money, they will end up getting out of the rental market and into the ownership property market or investment market and rent vesting. Or, you know, the other point of that is, you know, a long-term renter that doesn't want to enter the property ownership. Now, what we've seen over the last sort of COVID period of, you know, 2 years when stock levels were high and, you know, prices had to drop to seek rental applications from renters, you know, good deals were on offer. And I think the thing that we're going to see now is with rates moving up, you know, those people that jumped in to get a better house for the same rental price from what they were in 2 years ago, you know, may have a surprise of coming of what that rental review may be. But,
yep,
you know, I think the aspirational renter is always going to be able to save and move into the property market.
At the other end of scale is the lending practices. The Banking Royal Commission found a few issues and some organisations were certainly put under pressure. There was definitely a reassessment then. It's probably been far enough away from that point to see how the industry's going in that area, and particularly at a time now where there needs to be some pretty responsible advice given during this sort of flexible interest rate period. Do you sense that the industry itself has had a much-needed wake-up call about responsible lending?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, everything from, you know, those that were in the industry that weren't doing the right things, I think that they've, you know, finally been able to leave the industry and be successful somewhere else. I think that, you know, there's the pressure on verification of income and expenses has completely flipped on its head, and changed. It was at a point where it was very, the scrutiny on expenses was exceptionally heavy, and that seems to have pulled back with a little bit of more common sense. So what that means, you know, for the average person is that we're not seeing the scrutiny that was there on living expenses. You know, when they're not interested in looking at what, you know, personal discretionary income is in someone's day-to-day life. They just want to make sure that they meet the rules and regulations of verifying basic living expenses, groceries, utilities, car, transport, internet, phone, that sort of stuff. They're not interested in, you know, going to the pub on the weekend.
The other thing, are you sensing from, as well as the lenders having a wake-up call now, that the borrowers themselves have, and maybe there was a stage where I sensed that people were living a little extravagantly, the coffees, the dining outs, those sorts of things, and when the pressure's come on, they've had to make decisions, and there's an element of sacrifice. Do you think people are now a little bit more responsible in their own life about how they're spending their money?
Yeah, absolutely. We've started to see that right through the last sort of 18 months with COVID, with people that were in positions that, you know, they wanted to buy a house and they couldn't because of their discretionary spending. The COVID came and they were able to save a whole lot of money and get rid of the debt. We're now seeing an extension of that now, where because of the interest rate rises or the increases in pressures on the family budget, rental dues, etc., we're seeing a real revisiting of day-to-day spending, and particularly discretionary spending. And a lot of lenders now, or banks now, will provide through the internet banking service a breakdown of where your money's going, so that you can make those decisions.
We're coming near the end. Just a quick response to the final question: are you really upbeat and optimistic about the financial landscape in Australia?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think we're in a period now where it may be difficult at the moment, but I think the outcome, in whether it be 12 months, 2 years, or whenever it is going to be far better than what we're in at the moment.
Well, that is a good positive way to finish. Chris Foster Ramsey, we thank you so much. First time we've had you on the show, but I like your balanced assessments of the future, and I'm hoping you're right. There's always a bit of scepticism in me about how things go when we're not in control of the strings, so to speak, but I think if we can get things balanced early in the new year and get back on track, life will be good. But I really appreciate your positive outlook.
Thanks, Robert. Really appreciate you having me on.
Okay. Chris Foster Ramsey, and that's a good outcome. There's a few hiccups at the moment, but I sense 2023, if we can keep COVID at bay, I think it's going to be a positive time. We're going to go